You can do more things at once. So while you're doing that, we will get underway. You can see our text here is Mark 10, 35 to 45. So we'll get underway with that. This is reading from the New King James. I have progressed. I read the Old King James for a number of years. Now I'm in the New King James. Incidentally, that's as far as I'm going. So. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him saying, Teacher, we want you to do whatsoever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on your right hand, the other on your left hand, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? They said, We can. Jesus said, You will indeed drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but for those for whom it is prepared. When the ten heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, and it shall not be so named among you. Whosoever desires to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first should be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our time this morning is going to be on the marks of a servant. Let's pray. Our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that our hearts be open to your word and your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Through study and practice, we learn skills. Through serving, we learn character. That's a famous statement by someone. Ask God for a heart. I had the knowledge of serving before I had the heart to serve. I knew all about serving, but my heart wasn't right. 1 Samuel 16:7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, neither on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For man seeth, not as God seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. 1 Chronicles 28:9. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. Thou seek him, he'll be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he'll cast thee off forever. Take heed now. Build a house for the sanctuary. Acts 13:32. And when he had removed him, speaking of Saul, he raised up to him David to be their king, who to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Numbers 14:24. Cabel had another spirit within him. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Jesus was a perfect example. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. The key to serving is to be free from the desire that others and other things should serve us. In our text, James and John won the top places in the hereafter. With these positions would come prestige. Others would have to look up to them. This coming to be served can drive us to unusual accomplishments. It would have driven James and John to drink of the cup that Jesus drank. Jesus referred to this cup of suffering in the garden, and he prayed, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It would have driven them to be fully immersed in all that identified them with Jesus. All this for the privilege of the two top seats. These seats would have ministered to them. This, of course, bothered the other disciples because they wanted the top seats also. It's not that all the fellows hadn't earned top seats. Peter was speaking the truth when he said, We've left all and followed you. He really had. They all had. Yet all our suffering and all our sacrifice would have ministered and served them. They could have thought that they were unusual men, a cut above others who hadn't gone through so much. They could have thought that they were aces for God. God has only one ace. Only one superstar, Jesus Christ. To the extent that we can get on top of things and people and positions or circumstances serving us is the extent we can serve God and others. Galatians 6:10, as ye have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Some of the characteristics, some of the marks of a servant in Luke 22:24-26. There was a strife among them, which of them should be the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. They exercise lordship over them are called benefactors, but it should not be so named among you. But he that is the greatest, let him be as the younger, and chief as he that is served. Earning rank is necessary. It's also of God. However, the problem is that it should not serve us. One of the marks of a servant is the spirit of a learner. 2 Timothy 3:14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In the passage that Jim referred to in Exodus 35 and 31 and 34, Bezalel and Elohab, they were filled with the Spirit of God to do workmanship. They were drape makers. They were casters of bronze. They were carpenters. They worked with their hands, and they were filled with the Spirit of God. This is one of my early verses that I worked on years ago as God began to straighten things out, very much according to Kent's testimony the other night when he related that he gave himself to full-time work, and later he realized that God still wanted him in full-time work, but to support himself. One of the hardest things for me is to not support myself. Jerry Strader came to me back in the 60s when he was on staff and God had led him to get his PhD and go into teaching and support himself, and I was so thrilled, and he came by to see me in Oakland. And I said, Jerry, I'm so thrilled at what you're doing. And he said, John, you're too thrilled. Why are you so excited about me leaving the Navigators? I said, Jerry, you're not leaving the Navigators. You're just moving away from begging and going into working. He said, John, where is your heart? I says, in business. He said, say it again. I said, well, it's in business. John, why are you doing what you're doing? I said, straight, God told me to. Obedience. And these fellows, Bezalel and Lohab, thrill my heart. And you thrill my heart, you see. You really do. Because God has laid on your heart to be full-time in the ministry. And you got to sell insurance or dig oil wells or something to make a living. You know, build houses, drive nails, you know. One another characteristic of a servant is that he acts as the younger. Likewise, ye younger, 1 Peter 5:7, submit yourselves unto the elder. All servants should act as the younger. When people get old, they should act as the younger. What do you mean by that? Well, in the old culture, the younger served the elder, and the younger rose when the elder came in, and all those courtesies that long since been forgotten in our society. But our spirit should be as the younger. Another characteristic is that he waits on tables. Acts 6:2-8, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said unto them, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom appoint over this business, but we'll give ourselves continually to prayer and to the minister of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set over the apostles, and they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So many times this passage has been read that we'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer, and you can give yourselves to mess cooking, to serving tables, and it's inferred that the word in prayer is a higher calling than mess cooking, than serving tables, than driving nails, than rolling a wheelbarrow, than digging an oil well. That's not true. The Bible doesn't teach it. And I got a whole reef of verses on that. It frankly doesn't teach it. God gives people calling. He needs people full time. But it's not a better or worse calling. It's just a calling. That's all. Just like you're building a house. We need everybody. We need the tile setters and the air conditioning and the lights and the plasters and the painters. It isn't one's above the other. We need them all if we're owner of their house. We'd like all the tradesmen come to do our work. When I first went aboard ship, I was an enlisted man. As a first class boatswain's mate, I was on deck, swab jockey, deck eight. And he looked me over and he said, according to your gifts, Crawford, he says, you're going on mess cooking. He's perhaps one of the vainest men, wickedest men I hope I ever have the privilege of working with. So I was mess cooking for three months. Then I got off mess cooking for about a month and went back on swabbing down. And then he come one day and he said, you know, Crawford, he says, I think you ought to have another tour of mess cooking. So I went back on, you know, 6 months of my fighting the war was washing dishes and, you know, doing chores and peeling potatoes. But in the afternoon, I did have about a two-hour break, and of course, I used that to memorize scripture. And this man, for 3 years before he was transferred, I'll never forget the day we were down in the South Pacific. We put him on a boat, and he was transferred. Bon voyage. I'm telling you, we were glad to see him leave, you know. But one night, a Liberty ship was stuck on the rocks between Guadalcanal and Tulagi. You don't mind a few war stories, do you? And we got word to get a line on it to get it off. So we were a seagoing tugboat. Seagoing tugboat's flat bottom, you know. It really rides easy. 187 feet long, you know. Carrier is about 1,000 feet long. I'll give you some idea. We were under attack, and the sonarman sent us word that we were being stalked, pinged with a Japanese submarine. And we thought we'd get the Liberty ship off the rocks, and they would sink the Liberty ship, but probably spare us because we're so little. At least that's what we told each other. And it was dark and raining and a lot of noise, and I was up on number one line and with this guy. And there's a little bit of lull in the action. 3 years into the piece, this guy whispered to me. I never talked to the clown. I had nothing to say to him. He was wicked. He leaned over and whispered. He says, you know, Crawford, he says, I've got to admit that what you've got is the real thing. I never witnessed to him. I never gave him the gospel. I had to have been given the gospel to him. To a Lutheran kid, a mate of mine, Fred Jarko, he was lost as a goose too. Of course, I was the only Christian aboard ship. Next day, Jarko said, Crawford, he says, I heard what Brady told you last night. I said, Jarko, where were you? He says, I was laying on a blanket about 3 feet away when you guys worked. We didn't see him, of course, you know. God has called us to serve. God gave me the privilege of living a life aboard a tugboat. Captain was Mr. Holland, A.D. Holland. And it was A.D. Holland and his 90 thieves. Well, it was only 89 thieves, because I say, you know. We would. We'd pull up to a place and the guys would steal everything. I mean, we'd bring it right aboard, you see. A servant. The mark of a servant. Acts 6, 9, and 10, there arose certain among the synagogue, which you call the libertines, disputing with Stephen, and they're not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. I was a witnessing Christian, and I caught a liberty ship, or rather they caught a transport out of San Diego, 6,000 troops. And I've been witnessing to some of the guys. There's three Christians that joined the Navy together. One of the guys we were witnessing to was on a working party up in hole number 2. We were in hole number 6. 6,000 troops. And as a navigator, ship's company, stationed on the ship, and he witnessed to this guy, and so he came back in hole number 6, and I was seasick. And he said, Crawford, he said, you ought to go meet this guy. He is one of your kind. I didn't want to meet anybody. Next day, he was on another working party, and evidently this navigator laid it on him again. And he came back. He said, Crawford, boy, I met this guy. He's one of your kind. You really ought to go see him. So to protect my testimony with this guy that I witnessed to, I went up there and met this sailor. His name was Buckles. He was a Christian. Navigator, could quote scripture. And Buckles helped me. Buckles gave me some pointers. And I was impressed that he could quote scripture. And that he gave me the nav address out in Honolulu. And I went out and the fellas got me started memorizing scripture. And they had a real complicated system in those days. They said, memorize a verse a day and review all you know every day. I didn't realize what that was, you know. 365 days, you got a handful of verses. 3 years, you got 1,000 verses. Take you around 10 o'clock in the morning to get through your review, you know. But I went aboard ship, and I met a storekeeper, a Catholic kid I witnessed to a lot, but we were good friends. And he would tell me what the guys were saying behind my back. One day the guys were giving me a bad time, and this chief petty officer, machinist mate, he was in a different division, a below deck sailor, and he came up on the men, and they said, all right, men, knock it off. A kid just got aboard. Give him a break. We'll see what he's made out of. 3 years later, I never talked to this chief because I was a lowly deck ape, and he was some, you know, chief petty officer. But I had made my ranks, and I was a deep sea diver and had a little respect aboard ship, and we'd gone to South Pacific, back in San Francisco, still with some of the same crew. And one day, coming out of the shower and through the mess hall, got a cup of coffee, and the chief said, Crawford! I said, yes, chief. He said, you going to be a preacher when you get out of the Navy? I said, well, chief, I don't know really if I'll be a preacher, but yes, I'll be in the ministry of some kind. God's called me. I'm making a missionary, really. I think you'll make a blanket a blank good one. Three years into the peace, serving, opening opportunities to witness. The servant's reward, Luke 22:28-30. Ye are they which have contended with me in my temptations, and I appoint to you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I'll be able one day to sit down at his table. I won't even be mess cooking. I won't even have to serve. Isn't that fantastic? Another thing that I learned in regard to serving the fellows in those early days as a brand new Christian is that is to do things for them, to do chores for them. Down in the carpenter shop, in the ship fitter shop, I'd make things. One time I decided to make me a suitcase. So I went ashore and got some equipment and made me a handmade suitcase. One of the fellows liked that. His name was Shooty. He said, "Hey, Crawford, would you help me?" And Shooty was a typical sailor. I mean, he really hit the beach. And he could consume quite a bit. And Shooty and I talked together, but no opportunities to share my faith. So I said, "Sure, Shooty, I'll help you." So we went down in the shop, shipfitter shop, and the carpenter shop was all together, and I helped him several evenings make him a suitcase. And so we made the framework and got all the little hinges, and he wanted it covered in leather, so he got him some nice leather, and we covered it in leather, and it was really beautiful. And we'd be working away, and I'd be working away, and he'd be watching me. I'd do most of the work, and he said, "Hey, Crawford, would you like a cup of coffee?" "Yeah, I believe it would, Shooty." So he'd go get us some coffee and sit there, and I'd learn this. I'd just be quiet and work away, and I'm helping him, see? So in his mind, I know what's going on. Well, this guy's helping me. I better be nice. He's a nice guy. He's religious. I better start a conversation about religion. Crawford, by the way, what are the differences in churches, you know? So Shooty starts off, see? So this opens the door as he asks the questions to give the gospel to Shooty, as I served it, you see? Helping people. One of the rewards of these people that were called there in Acts, and they lay hands on them, that they were bold in the faith. 1 Timothy 3:13, "For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now, fellas, a deacon was a fellow that served the tables. A deacon in our churches today does the chores. He doesn't give himself to the word in prayer like the pastor and the elders and the seven did. But the scripture says that a deacon here, by doing his deacon job, gains boldness in the faith. Not boldness in how to do greater carpenter work, but boldness in the faith. And you have seen that, and you no doubt have experienced that. Another mark is in Matthew 25:31, he gives food to the hungry. Matthew 25:36, he gives clothes to the needy. Years ago, I began to read these passages, and how can I qualify as a servant? So I made a practice of giving away clothes. And so I've looked for an opportunity to give away clothes. When I visit the mission field, I look for opportunities. In fact, as we left New Zealand, I gave away all my clothes except a jacket and a couple of pair of slacks and a few pieces of underwear, and I gave them to needy people. When I was overseas last year, I emptied out my suitcase to some fellows that were farmers, and I knew it, and I gave my jacket to one young farmer. He was just a kid when I knew him. When we lived there, and you never saw such a proud fellow. Here he had John's jacket. Boy, he was so pleased, you know. In fact, we're in the process now of sending clothes overseas. Sometimes we inherit these clothes from others. I'm trying to make this practical. I'm trying to get it down to shoe leather where you can actually be a servant. Now, we started off with God has to give us a heart. But that is all the spiritual part. See, that is all the, you know, the church bit I want to include in this. That's all, okay, see?
Now then, we get down to practicing being a servant by helping people with their food, by helping people with their clothes. Helen and I budget some money. We have some money set aside. About four blocks, or maybe eight blocks from where I live, there's no boy that's got a clothing outfit. He's a kind of a wholesale bit. He doesn't have all that much selection, but they're rather inexpensive.
They look all right, huh? He doesn't do any altering anything, but you can get them cheap there, really. So when missionaries come through, I take them down and outfit them with clothes. I budget that because the Bible says He gives clothes to the needy, and I want to practice being a servant, so I practice giving clothes to the needy by budgeting in my budget, in my giveaway. You know, it's not my grocery money. It's my giveaway to the clothes needy fund, you know. He is a friend to the friendless. This is a servant.
Matthew 25:35. You don't have to go very far, even in your church,
to pick up someone who doesn't have all that many friends. A friend to the friendless. I write letters to people, and I am the only correspondent that they have. Dale Carnegie, in his book, How to Win Back the Friends You've Influenced,
wasn't that it? He says, send your mate, send your friend a birthday card. It'll probably be the only one he gets. I'm telling you, there's just such a gorgeous opportunity out there. Twenty-5:36, visit in prison.
I have two fellows, Chris Peterson, doing life in Missouri State Prison, friend of mine. I write him regularly, try to encourage him. Mike Martin, Mike was out at El Reno, Clinton, he was out at Clinton. I did Bible study with Mike. I'd go out and visit with Mike. He's now transferred to Texas.
See, I like in my friendship to have prisoners, because the Bible says you ought to be nice to prisoners and try to win prisoners. I like to have high schoolers. I have four high school friends that I like to, you know, be friends with high school. Take them fishing occasionally, so on, you see. I like to take these verses of Scripture on the marks of a servant and actually literally, Lord, how can I put shoe leather,
that's the reason I buy these old big thick shoes, soles, you know, because I want to put shoe leather to these applications. Identifying with people as they are. Luke 14, 13 and 14. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the lame, the blind, for they cannot recompense thee, and thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Look for some people that you can help, that in no way can they help you. Then you're guaranteed that you're getting it, that you're transferring it to the other side. It's like when you go into a country, you know, you take your money and get the money of the country so you can shop and buy things. You know, you transfer it in that kind of money. Well, this is a sure way you can transfer it into heavenly money because they can't help you. They really can't help you. We must continually do things for people to ensure our reward in heaven. John 11:35, the loss of a loved one. Ecclesiastes 7:2, it's better to go to the house of
mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. I've enjoyed the times with Gene when we've been bird shooting and pheasant shooting and having the guys up in Nebraska and Kansas just having a ball. I enjoy that. But the times when I would cry for 2 hours without stopping. And old Gene said, Helen, should we get him some professional help? What should we do for him? How can we help him? Jesus wept. See, those are the times, you see. And you say, John, I don't know any of these people. Let me help you. I'll give you some of mine. You know, the people are out there. Don't be afraid. Jesus allowed himself to be put through God's training program to identify with others. I didn't like that. I didn't like mess cooking for 6 months. I was a master craftsman before I ever joined the Navy. You know, carpenter, bricklayer. You know, I did my time in three trades, really. You know. And here I was washing dishes, you know.
But it's times when God puts us through these things that we learn to walk with others. The times, I mean, it's God saw fit to take Jim's boy and the opening up of opportunities that Jim White has, because God saw fit to put him. I'm telling you, the tuition to be a servant is tough tuition. It's tough tuition. But you can go to grade school or junior high or high school or college or do graduate work if you want to. You know, you just pass one course and God will give you another. You think, when is it going to be over? This last year, in 1993, some of the toughest I've ever had. Oh, it wasn't because I needed a new jacket or food, or was my short in my budget, or couldn't make the bills paid. No, it was spiritual battles with people that are close to your heart that can tear your heart out, you see. The marks. Servant. But God will prepare us. Well, as I told you, I wouldn't get done. And in fact, I got 3 more pages.
Paul was an example. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Peter was an example. Submit yourself to every order of man. James was an example, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We should be examples. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. I thought about apprenticing as a pattern maker one time. A pattern maker is a guy who makes patterns so you can pour things in it and make things like the pattern. You know, I didn't. I took another vocation. But we're patterned. 1 Timothy 1:16, you have it there on your card. Titus 2:7-8, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. In other words, we should do things and by our actions tell our fellows, hey fellows, this is the way you do it. We don't necessarily say that, but by our actions, look over here, this is the way you do it. This is the way you give to the poor. This is the way you make friends. This is the way you visit the sick. This is the way you have prisoners that you're trying to disciple. This is the way you spend time with high schoolers. You know, be a pattern, you know. On the back of your page, we're going to memorize a scripture. I feel I'd let you down if I didn't help you memorize a verse. Turn over there on the back of your page. You see your card?
I'll read it. I receive not glory from men.
I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. John 5:41. Okay, now in unison, say the reference and the verse and the reference. Ready?
John 5:41. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. John 5:41. Our Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that you'll help us as we seek to serve others as serving unto you.
I thank you, our Father, for these fellows and for their attention. I pray, Lord, that I and they might make application today as we humble ourselves before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.